The Shaykh starts off by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking refuge in his sins. And he bear witness and testifies that there is no deity that is worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his servant and the chosen one of his slaves. He advised the servants and he cleared the misconceptions, and he did jihad the way that it was supposed to be done until he met his death. So O Allah, reward him the best that you ever rewarded any prophet on behalf of his ummah. And may Allah send his salat and salam upon him and upon his families and upon those that follow him and all those that follow his sunnah and follow his steps till the day of judgment. As to what follows, and I welcome you, all of you respected brothers and sisters, and I pray that Allah blesses all of us a place in Jannah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has gathered us, who has gathered me with you all today, that He also gathered us on the Day of Judgment with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. Indeed, He is capable of doing this and qualified to do so. O beloved brothers, what are the factors that can keep a person stable during the times of fitna? This is the topic that has been chosen for me by Shaykh Waleed. He has chosen to give me this topic. And I think that the topic is a very important topic, and every single Muslim needs to know this information, especially in this country. In fact, in any country, he needs to know this information. And I will, before time runs out, I will concentrate on the following points in this lecture. Firstly, the types of fitna. Secondly, the dangers of fitna upon the heart. Thirdly, the factors that can keep a person stable during fitna. So please pay attention to me with your hearts and with your ears. And I pray that Allah makes us amongst those who listen to His statements and follow it. These are the ones whom Allah has guided, and these are the ones that are wise. Firstly, the types of fitna. Fitness can be divided into two broad categories. The first category is the fitna of desires, and the second category is the fitna of doubts. The fitna of desires are many. Under this comes the fitna of money, and the fitna of women, and the fitna of children, and the fitna of position, and the fitna of power, and the fitna of wanting to be in charge. Many fitnas that come under the fitna of shahawat. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was scared of his ummah concerning these fitnas, concerning the fitnas of the dunya and all of its pleasures, because he said in the hadith, wallahi, I'm not scared that you're going to become poor. I'm not scared that you're going to become poor, but I am scared that this earth is going to be spread out for you as it was spread out for those that came before you. Then you will compete with one another to get this dunya, as they also compete with one another to get it. So it will destroy you just like it destroyed them. So the fitna of the desires is going to shake the heart, and we seek Allah's refuge. The fitna of women, and it is the most dangerous of all of the fitnas of the desires. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned his ummah. He said, as is reported by the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I remind you, don't be miserly with saying the salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are not going to say salat upon him now, then when will you say salat upon him? The Prophet ﷺ said, I have not left any fitna that is more dangerous. I have not left any fitna after me that is more dangerous for men than women. I have not left any fitna after me that is more dangerous to men than women. And there is no doubt that not a single person is unaware of the fitna of women. It is of the most dangerous of the fitnas of desires. the fitna of how many times have people come to this country and he then just got devolved, enveloped into the shahawat of this dunya, into the desires of this dunya. So you find him spending his time and his money and all that he can in order to attain the desires of this world. And he forgets that as long as he lives, it doesn't matter, the dunya will end. As long as he lives, he will never be able to get what he wants. Because every night there must be a dawn after it. And every life there must be a death after it. How many Muslims in this country, how many Muslims in this country do not know even where the masjid is? Some of the brothers asked me in Brooklyn, in New York, that to go to a Muslim man who has a lot of money and a lot of businesses, but he didn't even know where the masjid was. So they asked me, why don't you go, O Sheikh, to remind this man of the masjid? Perhaps he might be reminded and Allah might bless him. So I went and I reminded him of Allah, and I reminded him of the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he told me, I promise you, if I return to my country, that I will build a whole masjid for the sake of Allah, and I will stay in that masjid until I meet Allah. I said, bring me a paper and pen. He said, so that I can write a contract with the angel of death that he doesn't take your soul until you get there. So that we can condition upon the angel of death that he will not come and take your death until you go back to your country and build the masjid so you can worship Allah there. So the man understood what I was trying to say. So he said, Wallahi, O Sheikh, if I... If I have a headache, I take $100 out and I put it on my head and the pain goes away. The Shaykh said, Wallah, you are the slave and the worshipper of the money. Just like the Prophet said, that the person who worships money will perish. This is the Qibla that you pray to. This is the Kaaba. This is the reason that you live. And this person knows that he will not take his money to the grave. He is reciting a poetry that don't compile that which will go away from you. Every single rich person will eventually become poor. Poverty that is pure is better than richness that is impure. Contentment is richness, even if you don't have much. Look at the one who has all of the world, yet he comes in his coffin and grave the same as everyone else. The fitna of shahawat, the fitna of desires, is going to drown you in this world. Many of those people that claim to be Muslim, they are involved in these fitnas so much so that they forget of the Akhirah. Why did the Prophet ﷺ warn against these fitna? He said, Wallahi, I'm not scared of poverty, but I'm scared that this world is going to be spread out for you as it was spread out for those before you, and you will compete with one another to get it, just like they also compete with one another. So it will destroy you just like it destroyed them. I don't want to tell you don't get involved in the dunya, but, and I'm not trying to tell you leave your world and leave your jobs and leave your businesses. What I am telling you is that you understand the reality of this world, and that is that the world is only a harvest or a crop for the Akhirah. There are certain servants of Allah that are intelligent. They have understood the purpose of life. When they have understood that it is not a place for the living person to live, they have made it a ship for the akhirah. He said that the world is a place of honesty for he who believes in it. And it is a place of rescue for him who takes advantage of it. In other words, for the akhirah. So the dunya, this dunya is in fact the business place of the people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They use it to attain the akhirah. If you can gather $1 million, then do so. But with two conditions. Firstly, you take it from halal. And secondly, that you give the due that is upon it. Money is what we live by. But what I'm warning against is that you get involved with dunya to such a level that it forgets you of the akhirah. You become so busy that you forget what your real purpose is. Stand up for the sake of Allah. Stand up for the sake of Allah in the middle of the night. This is your true business. Your business for the akhirah, day and night. Make sure you take time out on the day for the Quran. Make sure you sit down with your children to remind them of Allah, to remind them of Allah's statements, and so on and so forth. You must make sure that this dunya doesn't get you involved, that your heart doesn't get shaken up by this fitna. I want to go on with the topic. The second type of shahawat, the second type of fitness, is the fitna of doubt. And I don't know of any time where the fitna of these doubts has been so much as in our times, especially on the internet. Everyone is speaking about the religion of Allah and causing doubts about the religion of Allah in a very well laid out plan, stage by stage. It is as if it's a war against Islam by establishing doubts against Islam. Sometimes they start to put doubts upon the Sahaba themselves, the ones who carry to us this religion, because they carry the Quran and Sunnah. They start putting doubts about the Sahaba. But if you cause doubts about the Sahaba, then you cause doubts about the religion of Islam, because they are the ones that carry this religion to us. By destroying the Sahaba, you destroy the Quran and the Sunnah, because they are the ones that carried the Quran and Sunnah to us. May Allah reward all of them and forgive all of them. If you see any person trying to belittle one of the Sahaba of the Prophet, then know that he is trying to destroy the religion of Islam. This is because the Prophet is true. He's asking you to say salat whenever you mention the Prophet's name. Say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, when you see a man trying to belittle any one of the Prophet's companions, then know that he is trying to destroy the religion of Islam. This is because, this is Hafiz Abu Zur'ah speaking, this is because the Prophet is true, and what he came with from Allah is true, and the people who carry to us are the Sahaba. So they try to destroy the Sahaba, because this will lead to the destruction of the Quran and Sunnah. One of the filthy one of them said, in a very evil book that he has, and one of the Muslim newspapers carried this book and printed it. Totally. This filthy person said that the Sahaba are an example of people that were involved in a backward nation and a sexually licentious society at that time. And then he said, when the man met the woman and the woman met the woman, every single day, in a regular intervals, in Yathrib, then when this came so much that the men had so much intercourse with the women and vice versa, this is when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed the men to enter the masjid when they were junub. So he is trying to show some doubt about the Sahaba that they were very sexual in their nature. He said, look at how evil this man is to say these type of things, that they were trying to cause doubts about the Sahaba. And then they went to another place, trying to cause doubts about the Sunnah itself. About the Sunnah itself, they're trying to cause doubts. Some of them have denied the intercession of the Prophet. Some of them have denied the punishment of the grave. Some of them have denied the blessings of the grave. Some of them have even said, we don't even have to follow the Sunnah. It's not a part of our religion. We just have to follow the Quran. And they said, Allah says in the Quran, we have not left anything out of this book. So they're trying to prove that the Sunnah is not a part of the Quran. So ask one of them to open the Quran from Fatiha to Nas and then teach us how to pray without looking at the Sunnah. Ask one of these people that denies the Sunnah to teach us how to pray. Bring me one verse in the whole Quran from Fatiha to Nas that tells me that Isha is 4 raka'at and that you have to pray in this specific manner, and that the pillars of Hajj are like this and the Sunnahs of Hajj are like this and the things that break Hajj are like this. Bring me even one verse that brings all of these questions. You will not be able to find a thing single verse. Rather, you will find the one that who explained this all is the Prophet himself in the Sunnah. The one who believes the Sunnah, he will come and say, quote you the hadith, pray as the Prophet prayed. He will come and say the Prophet did Hajj in this manner. The one who believes in the Sunnah, he will be able to show you how to do Hajj and how to do Islam. Allah says in the Quran, this is a book that we have revealed to you so that you can take people from the darkness into the light and show them the clear path. So the Quran has shown the broad outlines of Islam, but it has left the details of the religion, it has left the details of it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they start causing doubts about the Sunnah, and they say that we don't have to follow the Sunnah. They can then reach a very dangerous position. Look at the doubts that they're causing. They will then reach a third position. Those who have caused doubts about the Sunnah, they will then say, causing doubts about the Quran itself. Have they caused doubts about the Quran? Yes, indeed they have. What is your proof that they have caused doubts about the Quran? One of these people, the major one of them, he is living in the religion of, in the land of the Muslims, and the Sheikh says, I know exactly what I'm saying. He says, by the way, the Egyptian government has claimed that he was a non-Muslim eventually. He said that the Quran is a human product, it's not a divine product. And the aqidah of the Quran is based upon the stories that were prevalent at that time. And he is making fun of it, and he says that our religion is based on the Quran that is in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, on a very literal understanding of the Quran. And we still think that there is a God on a throne. And we still think that there is going to be a punishment and a heaven and a hell, and we're going to cross over the grave. To the end of what he said, one of the deans said that the Quran is open for criticism, just like any other book of literature is. And he said the existence of Ibrahim and Ismail is something that has been doubted. And even if the Torah and the Injil and the Quran all mention Ibrahim and Ismail, we don't have to believe in them. These are dangerous doubts that he is bringing forth about the Quran. To then go to their final goal, and that is to deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A certain person mentioned, he said, Allah is in my city, he is sold by the Jews. Allah is dead and the helpers are back now. He is talking about a philosopher, an Arab philosopher, that is, God is being sold by the religion people and the other people buy them from the religious crowd. I don't know of any place and any time where the doubts have been spread forth so much as in our times. And what is the way out? The way out from all of these fitans, the fitan of doubts and the fitan of desires, both. We will talk about them, inshallah, in the third point of our lecture, and that is, how do we remain firm in the times of fitna? The second point, before we move on to the third point, is what is the dangers of fitna? The dangers of fitna are many, especially if we know that the first problem of fitna is that it takes away our heart. And the heart is the basis of our intellect and our desires and our faculties. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith in the Sahihain, he said that indeed there is in the body a piece of flesh. If it is good, if it is perfect, then the whole body will be perfect. And if it is evil, then the whole body itself will be evil. Indeed, this piece of flesh is the heart. So the fitnas, they go and they are passed upon the qalb, the heart. And the heart, if it is affected by these fitna, it will affect the whole body. The Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, there is in the heart, there is in the body a piece of flesh. When it is perfect, the whole body will be perfect. When it is pure, the body will be pure. When it is evil, the whole body will be evil. Abu Huraira said that the heart is the king of all of the other limbs. So if the king is good, then all of the people underneath him will be good. And if the king is evil, then all of the people beneath him will be evil too. Many of the youth ask, I can't memorize the Quran, and I can't memorize the Sunnah, and I can't memorize the religious knowledge that is given in khutbas. I can't stop looking at dirty pictures and evil movies, and so many other complaints. We say you won't be able to do anything until you protect your heart, until you start giving medicine to the king itself of your body. Then all of the other limbs will follow the king. When you cure the king, then all of the other limbs are going to follow. A man came to Sufyan al-Thawri and he said, O Sufyan, my heart has become sick and I have become far away from Allah. And so the Shaykh says, if one of us has a physical ailment of our heart, then he is going to spend every single dollar he has, every single doctor, he's going to go to every specialist to cure himself, every single cure that he can find, every single process. But he doesn't think about the spiritual part of the heart, to go to the ulama and get the spiritual part cured, so that he can cure the spiritual disease that he has in his heart. To go to the real specialist of the heart, not the doctor, but the alim. So he's giving the example of the man that he came to Sufyan al-Thawri and complained about his heart, whereas we go to the doctors. So he said, Oh Sufyan, my heart has become sick. What was the sickness? That my heart is far away from Allah. So what is the solution? Sufyan said, go to sincerity, the depths of sincerity, and the patience, and humility. Put all of this in the a utensil of taqwa, and pour upon it the fear of Allah. And then light it with your own fuels. Think of your fuels. And then take it with a sincere potion. put it in the utensil of istighfar. When you do all of this, then you will be cured from your disease of the heart, inshaAllah. You will never be able to save in this life except with your pure heart. Allah says on the day that no money and children will benefit you except the one who came with a pure heart. What is the pure heart? Ibn Qayyim said, the heart will never be pure until it is pure of five things. Until it is pure of shirk that goes against tawheed. And when it is pure of innovation. And it is pure of being away from Allah. And it is pure of following His desires. And it is pure of trying to show off your deeds for the sake of Allah. And all of these conditions are necessary of its own lecture. The day that money and children will not benefit except he who comes with a pure heart. The problem of fitna is that it is settled down in the heart. A man looks at a beautiful woman or a naked picture. Then he turns away. And he closes the TV or he closes the magazine. And he goes back to his house. Then when he sits down on his desk, he remembers the picture that he saw. Is this not true? If he sits down in his bed, he sees the woman in front of him. Even though she is not, but he thinks of her. And he remembers the picture that he saw. Why? Even though the picture has gone away, but the picture has been imprinted in the heart. The picture has been photocopied onto the heart. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith reported by Muslim from Hudayf ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu. He said that the fitnas are presented upon the heart. Careful, the fitnas are not only taken upon the eyes and the ears. No, look at what the Prophet is saying. The fitnas are presented to the heart. Many people think that they will only see the fitna with their eyes or with their ears and then that's it. But no, the Prophet said the fitnas go upon the qalb, the heart. Just like a branch is stripped away part by part. A tree is stripped away branch by branch. So you see, for example, a large tree. But if you keep on taking away branch by branch, this is how the heart will be taken away by every fitna, branch by branch. So how many? So whatever heart has been taken up by the fitna, there is a black spot put on the heart. And any heart that rejects the fitna has a white spot on him. So then the hearts become one of two categories. Either a heart that is pure black, it doesn't know good, and it doesn't reject evil. Only it follows its desires. The other opposite is the pure white heart. Not a single fitna will be able to afflict it as long as the heavens and earth exist. Pure white heart. The qalb or the heart is where the fitnas are presented. If the heart takes the fitna, then the black spot is formed. If the heart drinks up the fitna, so then if the heart drinks up the fitna, then it will want another one. It will want another one. He will then go a third and a fourth. He will look at another picture until the heart becomes rusted, like the Prophet, like Allah says, indeed their hearts have become spoiled with rust because of what they do. Indeed, on that day they will be prevented from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. When the fitna goes into the heart, there is a dark spot put on it. But if the person goes and seeks Allah's forgiveness, then that black spot is removed. The Prophet said, whenever a person does a sin, his heart will become black. But if he repents and stops and seeks his forgiveness, then his black spot will be taken away. But if he returns, then the black spot will return until the heart will become rusted. And this is what Allah says in the Quran, that indeed their hearts will be rusted because of what they have done. So the fitnas, oh my brothers, are presented to the hearts. If the heart drinks up the fitna, then the heart will be destroyed. Khalas, the person will be destroyed.
يقول لك خلاص يا عم الشيخ مضى زمان السنة الآن في أمريكا.
Some might well say the sunnah time has gone. We're now in the time of the internet and the jet plane. Wine is haram, the Sheikh is saying. It doesn't change. But the khamr that the Prophet that was prohibited in the Prophet's time is different. In our times we call it spirits and refined wines. It's not the haram, it's not the prohibited thing. So you tell him pork is haram. He'll say, yes, I'm not saying pork is haram. But the pork that was prohibited was the sick, dirty pork, pig. As for our pork, it is purified and clear. It is under hygienic laws when they are, he's talking about the Muslims that justify their things. That under hygienic laws, doctors examine them. Riba is haram. Of course riba is haram, but the interest of today is not the riba that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited. If you tell him Allah and His Messenger said, then he will call you fundamentalist, backward. All of these other labels that he has, these ready labels that he has to stick on you every time you quote the Quran and Sunnah. If you say Allah said and the Prophet ﷺ said, then they will point at you and laugh at you. If you said that the Sahaba said or Shafi'i said or Ahmad said or so and so said, they were going to find tricks and ways to make haram what is halal and make halal what is haram. Just like children are playing in the streets, this is how they play. This is the justice of the evil people. When the fitna has been drunk up by the heart, then the heart does not have a scale to judge evil and good by. The bid'ah becomes sunnah, and the sunnah becomes bid'ah, and the truth becomes evil, and the evil becomes truth. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Don't be backward, the people will tell you. You're living in America now. Don't be backward going back to the Quran and sunnah. But just because you live in America doesn't mean you are outside the Sharia of Allah. Doesn't mean that you are away from the prohibitions and commandments of Allah. Verily, the Sharia of Allah is over your head no matter where you are, no matter what place of earth you are, what time you are. Allah and the Sharia of Allah is always over your head. And the Prophet is always your leader no matter what earth you are in and no matter what sky is sheltering you. I am greatly grieved by seeing those people who are misguided. They hold strong to their misguidance, yet we who have the true guidance, we go away from it. Many of us are even ashamed to tell other people we are Muslims and show people that we are Muslims. Look at the dangers of the fitna. And remember that the fitna is presented to the heart. If the heart swallows up the fitna, then the heart becomes worshipping its own desires. The heart starts worshipping a god besides Allah, its own desires. It only worships that which it wants to do. So it is important then that we follow the factors that we will mention soon, inshallah, so that we are, because the pure heart will always be able to reject every fitna, no matter what is presented to it. So this is the third part of our lecture. What are the factors that will prevent us from being affected by the fitnas? These destroying fitnas, the fitness of doubt and the fitness of desires, after I have shown how dangerous it is upon the heart and upon the religion and upon our akhirah, then what is the cure? What is the solution? What are the factors that we can remain firm with? And we'll mention some points so you can remember them. I will present a number of factors, primary factors, that every person can use, inshaAllah, to remain firm upon or when these fitnas come. The fitnas of desires and the fitnas of doubts. Firstly, the first point, to seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever Allah helps, then he is the one who is helped. And whoever Allah disgraces, he is the one who is truly disgraced. Oh Allah, help us and make us firm in your worship. Oh the one who is in charge of making our hearts firm, make our hearts firm. Oh the one who changes the hearts, change our heart to the worship, to your worship. We keep on repeating, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
وما جلست بين يدي في هذا المجلس المبارك إلا بحول الله وقوته.
You did not come to this masjid and you did not sit here except with the hawl or the permission of Allah and His quwwah and His power. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله means there is no power and there is no change except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you did not change your state except with the permission and power of Allah. So realize that Allah is the source of all power. Allah says in the Quran that the Bedouins think it is a favor that they have accepted Islam. Rather tell them Allah has shown them a favor by causing them to be Muslim. The heart is between two of the fingers of Allah. He changes them how He wishes. And I will mention a story of a man who was in Egypt with us. I was giving a khutbah of Jum'ah in Ramses in the city of Cairo. And whoever attends Jum'ah in this masjid, he sees tens of thousands of people, his heart becomes happy. The masjid is composed of seven stories. The brothers and sisters, can, as far as the eye can see in the street, as far as the eye can see spread out, the heart becomes happy. And what makes you even happier is most of these people are of the youth. Anyway, the point is, after one khutbah, I saw a person crying severely. And he was trying to come to me. So I told the crowd around me, let him come and speak to me. So he called to him, come here. He was wearing very good clothes. And I thought that he was of the rich family. And he was crying, a very strange cry, making my heart يعني, soft for him. So he said, you must come to my house. So I went with him and I went to his house. He wasn't even 25, 27 years old. I found in his main room 12 different rooms leading out of that. This was his house, his palace, if you like. And I saw a whole bar right there. And he entered me into another room, a very beautiful bedroom. And he told me that, wallahi, yesterday he was committing zina with one of the famous actresses of Egypt. And then he said, I didn't come to pray Jum'ah with you. This was the first day I woke up early. The first day time I entered the masjid. I said, why did you come? How did you come? He said, I forgot a great amount of money in a shop close to the masjid. So I went to that shop to get the money back. But I saw a huge crowd. So they said, what is this? I asked, what is this? They said, this is Jum'ah. He said, what is Jum'ah? He didn't even know what Jum'ah was. He said, and he saw them praying in the sun. And he said, what is all of this crowd? So he kept on asking. So I remained sitting in my car listening to the khutbah. I didn't even stand up and pray. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he's saying, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him. He went out of his house searching for money, but look at how he changed when he listened to the khutbah. Verily, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that the heart is between two of the fingers of Allah, He turns it as He wishes. Look at this man. This man was in great darkness, yet immediately he was changed to great lightness. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that his heart changed to the good. This darkness was changed to a great likeness. So look at the heart. When Allah shows some light to it, then it is possible that the whole darkness that the heart was in could be changed into the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the magicians of Fir'aun. When they came to Musa, they said, by Fir'aun's glory we will win. Yet within a few seconds, when they saw what Musa came with and what Allah's miracles, they told Fir'aun the same one they swore by. They said, do what you will, we believe in Allah now. Look at how the hearts were changed immediately. So this young man told me, wallahi, I was lost and I didn't know what life was. I didn't know that I was alive until I came to this masjid, and then I realized that I was dead. And that is why I cried out of the fear of Allah for the first time. So look, this man, he had everything in the world, but he wasn't alive. The true person that is alive is the one that has taqwa. No one knows what state he is going to die in. No one knows how he will die. Oh Allah, give us tawbah before our death, and give us shahada at our death, and after death give us jannah. All these are going to be judged by the ending, like the Prophet ﷺ said. So to seek help with Allah, going back to the point, remember that our hearts are between two fingers of Allah, He will turn them as He pleases. So approach Allah and your heart is in a state of humility. It is shattered in front of Allah. And know that Allah is the one that causes firmness. Know that whom Allah causes to be firm, He is the one that will be firm. Ibn al-Jawzi said, one of the sheikhs asked a student of knowledge. He said, O student of knowledge, when you find a wolf attacking the sheep, he says, I'm going to attack the wolf. When you find the wolf attacking the sheep, he said, I'll send my dog to it. So he kept on saying the same thing three times. He said, look at how the sheikh's knowledge. He said, this is going to continue. If you want to succeed, then instead of always attacking and repelling shaitan, why don't you seek refuge in the creator of shaitan? Like the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, I love you for the sake of Allah. So Mu'adh said, may my mother and father be sacrificed and your ransom, I also love you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, do not forget to say at the end of every salah, O Allah, help me, a'inni, help me. So look, you're seeking help from Allah. Seeking help from Allah. Don't forget to say after at the end of every salah, O Allah, help me in remembering you and thanking you and perfecting my worship of you. O Allah, help us in perfecting you, perfecting your worship and perfecting your thanks and perfecting the fear of you, your remembrance of you. The second way is to have taqwa and to make your iman stronger in your heart. Of the strongest ways that you will prevent yourself from falling into the fitness is to make sure that iman is in your heart. And it is of the principles of Ahl Sunnah that iman is speech and actions. Speech with the tongue and actions by your limbs. And it goes up and it goes down. This is what iman is. It goes up when you obey Allah and it goes down when you disobey Allah. Now I ask you, by Allah, is the iman that you have right now in the masjid the same as when you are watching a film or a video? No. Inshallah, now it is much more. Iman is increased when you worship Allah and obey Him, and it is decreased when you disobey Him. Allah says, He is the one who has revealed peace in the hearts of the believers so that they can increase their iman with the iman that they have. Their iman will go up. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, and it is in Musnad Ahmad, if Abu Bakr iman were in one scale and all of the iman of everyone else were in the other scale, the iman of Abu Bakr would be weightier than all of their iman, heavier than the iman of all of the Muslims. How can the iman of Abu Bakr be like our iman? No, wallahi. The reason Siddiq is a Siddiq is because of the iman. And because of the iman that was entered into his heart, that was stronger than all the mountains of fitna. So iman goes up and down. Iman goes up by obeying Allah, and it goes down by disobeying and committing sins. The Prophet ﷺ said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by Abu Nu'aym and al-Hakim with an authentic isnad from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that iman fades away in a heart of yours like a thawb, or like your clothes will fade away if you continue to wash them. So ask Allah to make your heart firm. So there's a hadith that the iman fades away. So continue to ask Allah to make it firm. If iman is strong in the heart, then this iman will lead the person of the heart to good. And if the iman is taken away from the heart, then if the heart becomes weak and the iman becomes weak, then the person of the heart also becomes weak prey for the shaitan and his desires, and his soul will take him wherever it wants to. It becomes easy if he is tempted to a sin that he will follow that temptation. But the mu'min who obeys Allah and fears Allah and his iman is in his heart, and he knows that Allah is watching him in private and in secret, and he realizes that Allah says, Allah knows everything in the heavens and the earth. There is never a private gathering of two people except that Allah is the third, nor is there five except that Allah is the sixth of them, nor less or more except that Allah is with them wherever they are. In other words, Allah knows exactly what they are doing. When a person knows this, that Allah is with him in his knowledge, not in his essence, he's saying. Allah is with him in his knowledge and by his sight and by his hearing. Then he has gone to a side point that Allah is not like anything we know. That when Allah sees us, his seeing is different from our seeing, and when he is upon the throne, it is different than when we are upon a throne. That the throne is of the creation of Allah. Allah is not supported by the throne, rather the throne is supported by Allah. How Allah has settled upon the throne is known. How he has done it is unknown, but we must believe in it. Allah says, don't give examples to Allah. And Allah says, they have not encompassed him in knowledge. So Allah is not like anything we can imagine. Subhanahu. There is nothing like him. He is the ever-seer and the all-hearer. So we are saying iman in the heart. The mu'min who has iman in his heart, he has perfected his worship. And iman has a sweetness. Iman has a light. What type of statements are these? I'll repeat. Iman has a sweetness, and iman has a light. And all of this is from the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as in Sahih Muslim by the hadith of Abu Huraira, no one will taste the sweetness of iman. He will taste the sweetness of iman, he who is pleased by Allah as his Lord, and by Islam as his religion, and by Muhammad as his Prophet. So he will taste the sweetness. Likewise, iman has, like the Prophet said, three people will taste the sweetness of iman. So iman has a sweetness, three people. three characteristics. The first characteristic, that he loves Allah and his messenger more than he loves anything else. The second characteristic, that he loves someone only for the sake of Allah. And the third characteristic is that he hates to return to kufr after Allah has got into Islam, just like he hates to return to that he hates to be thrown into the fire. Iman has light. Abu Nu'aym reported in Hulya and Ad-Daylami in an authentic isnad from the hadith of Ali that the Prophet ﷺ said, there is not a single heart amongst the hearts except that it has shadows like the shadows of the moon, shadows like the shadows of the moon. So every time a cloud or a shadow goes by, then it covers the light, otherwise the light is shining. So look at the eloquence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that the moon, it might be shining, but a cloud might go by and cover up that shining light. Likewise, iman is in the heart. It has a light. But when sins come by, they act like clouds and they prevent the light from coming upon the heart. So just like the clouds prevent moonlight from striking the earth, likewise sins prevent the iman that is in the heart from affecting the body. So every single heart has clouds, like the moon also is blocked by the clouds. When the clouds go by, you see the light. When the clouds are there, the light is blocked. So of the great factors that prevent you from being affected by the fitnas is iman. So the mu'min, the one who seeks help with Allah, he will be of those who are firm in the fitna because he has iman by the permission of Allah. As for the one whose iman is weak in his heart, then he will be like the plaything of shaitan, going left and right. He will be following his own desires. He will be following every temptation. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The question is, how can I increase my iman in my heart? And the answer, to be very brief, try your best to put your heart in those situations that will make it more strong in its iman, and keep it away from those situations that will make it weak in its iman. Take your heart to the religion of Allah, to the place where it will become strong with iman. Go away from videos and movies. To the best of your ability, take it away from every single sin that it will follow. And take it to places where it will become strong, like salah, like Quran, like remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like hanging around good friends and being around halaqat and religious knowledge. All of this will make your iman strong. If the iman is strong, then this is of the strongest factors that you have of preventing yourself from falling into fitna. The third factor is to learn Islamic knowledge, to stay away from the fitnas of knowledge, the fitnas of, desire, except you will stay away from them through knowledge. I came to Houston for the first time. Suppose if Sheikh Waleed did not meet me in the airport, I would never have been able to come here. So whoever tries to find a path without a guide, he's going to go astray. Whoever tries to find a path without the proper guidance, he is going to go astray. Whoever goes with the proper methodology, he is not going to find the proper way. So the primary guide away from the fitness is ilm and knowledge. And actions. Knowledge and then actions based upon that knowledge. All of these doubts that are going around in this world, you will never be able to save yourself from these doubts except through going to the Islamic knowledge. Oh brother, take some time out to learn. Make sure you don't give up some time. Make sure you take some time out for this knowledge. Don't let your business and your job take you up so you don't turn away from your religion. Make sure you specialize a certain factor of your day, a time of your day, to learn fiqh and to learn aqidah and to learn your usul. As long as people are learning knowledge, they are going to find thabat, they are going to find firmness. Of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and an authentic hadith in Sahihain, that knowledge is not going to be snatched away from the breast of people. Rather, knowledge will be snatched away by taking away scholars. And so finally, when there is no scholar left, people are going to take ignorant scholars as their leaders. So they're going to be asked questions, they're going to give fatwas without knowledge, they're going to mislead other people and also misguide themselves. You are never going to get out of the fitna of doubt except with knowledge. In fact, even with the doubts of desires, the fitnas of desires, the only way out is through knowledge. Because that's what's going to teach you what's halal and haram, what's sunnah and what's bid'ah. The fourth factor that will save you from fitnas. The first one is seeking help in Allah. Second one, strengthening your iman. Third one, trying to learn as much as you can. The fourth factor, make sure you stay in the masjid as much as you can and offer your salah in jama'ah in the masjid as much as you can. This is the ship that will save you from drowning. This is the ship that will save you from the fitness. In any place, in any time, especially in this time and place, the masajid of Allah. Try your best, to the best of your capability, to come to the masjid with your family and children, to one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the Quran, attend halaqat, pray, learn Quran, learn Arabic, learn the sunnah. The ship that will save you is the masjid. To stay with the masjid, stick with the masjid. To pray five prayers in jama'ah if you can. Except if you have a valid excuse, a darura, sickness or strong winds or rains. But try not to go away from the masjid. Try not to wait to praying in jama'ah. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ said. As is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Abu Hurairah, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever goes in the morning or evening to the masjid, then Allah will make from a position in Jannah every time he goes in the morning or in the evening. Allahu Akbar, look at this blessing. Whoever goes in the morning or in the evening, morning or evening, Allah will prepare for him a position in Jannah every time he goes and he comes to the masjid. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, should I not tell you that thing which will erase your sins and raise your strength in paradise? He said to perform wudu perfectly and to walk to the masjid with many steps and to wait for one prayer eagerly after another. This is the ribat, this is the true jihad in the way of Allah. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, if there were a river next to the house of one of you and he were to take a bath five times in that river, would he have any dirtiness left on him? They said no. He said, this is the example of the five prayers. Allah will erase all of your sins by it. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, and some of the ulama min al-Dhaif, but Shaykh Albani min al-Sahih, that Ibn Mas'ud said that the Prophet ﷺ said, you are burning, you are burning. In other words, in your sins, you are burning. But when you pray the Fajr, then it is washed away. Then you are burning and you are burning in your sins. Then when you pray Dhuhr, it is washed away. Then again you are burning and you are burning. Then when you pray Asr, then it is wiped away. Then you are burning and you are burning. Then when you pray Maghrib, then it is wiped away. Then you are burning and burning in your sins. Then you pray, when you pray Isha, then it is wiped away. Then you sleep, so nothing is written to you, for you or against you until you wake up and you start your sins again. The fifth way, make sure you recite a certain, every single day recite the Quran a certain time, single section every day. Unfortunately, many Muslims, they only recite Quran in Ramadan. Is that when Ramadan comes, they open up the Quran after Ramadan, they put it on the highest shelf. And this is not something that is good for the Muslim. Of the greatest factors that will keep you firm in times of fitna is to make sure that every day you read a certain section of the Quran, a certain part of the Quran. Regularly. Even if it's a small amount, but regularly, every single day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, speaking about the kafirin, why is not the Quran revealed all at once? This is because this is how your heart is made firm, and we have recited it in portions. So the portioning of the Quran and the recitation of the Quran, it makes your heart firm. Like Allah says, it makes your heart firm in the worship of Allah. Allah says, those who make jihad in our way, we will guide them our ways. We will guide them to our ways. So if you make the effort to read the Quran, then Allah will guide you. If you don't recite the Quran, if you don't listen to the speech of Allah and recite it yourself, then what are you waiting for? The Prophet ﷺ said, recite the Quran, because it will come on the Day of Judgment as an intercessor for the people that recited it. Recite the Quran, because it will come on the Day of Judgment as an intercessor for the people that recited it. And in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, the Quran will be brought forth, and the people that recited it and acted upon it, leading it will be Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, as if they are two huge clouds or two huge flocks of birds, two huge lights. They are going to argue on behalf of those people that used to recite it, argue that not to take them to the fire of hell. And he says, the Prophet says, Alif Lam Mim is not just one letter. No, Alif is counted as a letter, Lam is counted as a letter, and Mim is counted as a letter. So the benefits of the Quran are many. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, you should not have jealousy except for two people. The first one is the one who has been given the Quran and he recites it day and night. And the second one is the one who has been given money and he spends it day and night. These are the only two people that you can be guilty, jealous of. The sixth factor to keep you firm in times of fitna, and this might be very difficult for many people, and this is the praying of the night prayer. Some people might say, oh, may Allah forgive you, oh Shaykh, many people don't even pray Fajr and you tell us to pray Tahajjud. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Muslims, they want to get back the Quds, Jerusalem, and they want Kashmir, and they want Tajikistan and Turkistan, and they want the Khilafah, but they don't even pray five times a day. Look at the desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain sunnahs in the creation that do not change. Allah has certain sunnahs that will not change. When a whole ummah does not pray Fajr, then they will never be able to get Quds. They will never be able to get glory. When they will never be able to get Khilafah when they can't even pray Fajr. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heaviest salah upon the hypocrite is the Fajr salah and the Isha salah. Where are the Muslims at Fajr time in the masjid? Where are the Muslims? The heaviest salah upon the munafiqun, the hypocrites, and this is the same in the Prophet ﷺ, the truthful. So beware of being amongst the munafiqeen. The heaviest salah amongst the munafiqeen is the Fajr and the Isha salah. A person will talk with women, with his girlfriends for hours, and he will not think of the time. But when he is sitting in the masjid or praying behind the imam, and the imam reads a long surah, then his heart becomes hard, and his impatience becomes apparent. He said that the world match took place, soccer match, 1 hour before Fajr time in Egypt. So he said he woke up and he saw the whole world was awake at that time watching the finals, but at the Fajr time no one came. So they'll wake up for that, but they're not going to wake up for Allah. وَإِن تَخْلُوا عَنِ الْإِشْرَاكِ فِيهَا تُدَبِّرُ لِلْأُمُورِ بِالْإِرْتِقَاءِ He's reciting some poetry. He's describing a person who is impatient at people who are making the salah long, and yet when it comes to the dunya, they are spending all of these hours for the dunya and for their desires. O Allah, O servant, Allah is not equivalent to a female friend of yours that you are equating. That basically with the friend you will spend hours, but Allah you are not going to spend any time with. So pray at night. Pray even one rak'ah. Put the alarm clock on. Half an hour before Fajr. Just half an hour. Even quarter of an hour, 15 minutes. Pray. Pray two rak'ahs, one rak'ah. Pray three rak'ahs. Stretch forth your hands to Allah. Few minutes at a time when the angel comes down and Allah himself comes down and he calls out, who is there that is asking my forgiveness so I can forgive him? Who is there that is making a dua, I will respond. Who is there that is seeking forgiveness, I will forgive him. And this continues all the way till Fajr. It is enough for you to sleep so much. Just wake up a little part of the night. One of the greatest ways to prevent yourself from falling into fitna is to pray at night. Many people don't realize this, oh brothers. Praying the night is of the greatest factors to keep you firm in the daytime. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ said. The Prophet ﷺ said, as the hadith of Ibn Hakim and Tirmidhi by an authentic isnad, the Prophet ﷺ said, I command you with praying at night, because this was pleasing to your Lord and forgiving of sins and preventing evil deeds. Praying at night is going to prevent you from evil deeds at day, prevent you from falling into sins. So of the greatest ways to be firm is to pray at night and to raise your humble hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh factor, to constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who remembers Allah is alive, even if his limbs are cut off from him. And the one who is away from Allah, from the remembrance of Allah, is dead. The one who is away from the remembrance of Allah is dead, even if he is moving and walking amongst the living. And the one who is remembering Allah is the one who is truly alive, even if he has no limbs and he is still. The Prophet ﷺ said, as in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, by the hadith of Musa al-Ash'ari, the example of the one who remembers his Lord and the one who doesn't remember his Lord is like the example of the living and the dead. The one who remembers Allah and the one who does not remember Allah is like the one who is living compared to the one who is dead. So the remembrance of Allah is one of the greatest fortresses that you can protect yourself from shaitan. In a long hadith reported by Ahmad, authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who remembers Allah is like the one who the enemy came behind him, so he found a fortress, so he entered that fortress against his enemy. This is the example of the one who turns to the remembrance of Allah, it protects him from shaitan. If you remember Allah, then you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are with Allah. What a great blessing. If I ask you where you live, and you say, I live next to this minister's house, next to this famous person's house, it's a great honor. You are happy and content that you are close to this person. So imagine when Allah will remember you and you are going to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in a hadith Qudsi, I am with the thought of my servant when he thinks of me, and I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me in himself, I remember him in myself. If he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering better than him, better than his gathering. If he comes closer to me a hand's length, I come closer to him an arm's length. If he comes close to me walking, I come to him running. So the one who remembers Allah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, my brothers, of the factors that keeps you firm, to continue to remember death and to continue to remember paradise and hell. If you only think about death, then you will never commit sin. If you think of paradise and the permanent blessings of paradise and the hellfire and the punishments of hellfire, you will never think for one second of a sin. This is a command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, as an authentic hadith reported by Tirmidhi and others, the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, increase the thinking of that which destroys all pleasures, death. Increase the thinking of this thing. Increase remembering the factor that destroys all pleasures. It is death. No one will think of this when he is in a good position with his monetary wage, except that he will be constrained. And no one will think of it when he is constrained, except that it will become easy for him. Whenever you think of death, no matter what your situation is, it will be for your good. How? Again, he's quoting poetry. How can you think of sins when Allah is watching you? How can you think of looking at sins and looking at this when you will be in your shroud and your wrap on the day of in your grave? If anyone were to live, then the Prophet is going to live forever. But everyone will die. So therefore think and increase your thinking of Jannah. Remember Jannah. Be careful of the fire. Remember the fire, for its punishment is severe. And I conclude this. By reminding you of the blessings of Jannah, the Prophet said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have prepared for my pious servants that which no eye has seen, nor or any ear has heard, nor in fact any man has even thought about that. So the na'im or the blessings of Jannah cannot even be thought. As for the hellfire, then we seek Allah's refuge. The Prophet said, that the lowest person in the fire of hell, the person who has the least punishment, is he who has been wearing two sandals so hot that his brain is boiling because of that heat, and he thinks that he is the worst punishment, yet he is in fact the least punishment in the fire. So we pray that Allah saves us from the fire of hell, and that He reminds us of the truth, and that He makes our death come upon Tawheed. He is capable of doing so, and this is sufficient inshallah for our speech. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad and upon those that follow him. And may Allah thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.